Not to receive So that there is called In regulation, in need, in distress, God's suffering تكون فرستريشن. باي بين بريشر تو ذا بي، بين بريشر تو ذا بي والاكسبت ذا بي. باي يور بوز تو ارتكل ذا كاس.
We have the power of God to help us.
expect us both in prosperity and in adversity. We have to look through the heart of God, the sheep of faith, to defend us in prosperity and in adversity. So, third point, in these verses, he was able to explain to them how he did not get offense, how he did the service and the ministry not to be blamed, but his patience, by his endurance, and also by bearing the fruit of the Spirit and by showing for his belief in his life. What about the conflicting reports and conflicting reactions about him? He said also, even with this conflicting report, actually, I showed no faith. Yeah. In this case, he said, by honor and dishonor, sometimes people respected us as ministers of God. Other times, people despised us. But whether we are honored or we are dishonored, this didn't change anything in our ministry. We did not lose our patience. We did not lose our righteousness. We did not think angry with the people who despised us. Many times I say to myself, and when people dishonor us, usually I tell them, many times we receive honor. We receive honor that is not ours. It is the honor of the priesthood of Christ. So, if other times God allows for us to receive this honor, as we receive this honor, we should also receive this honor. Without being angry, without being frustrated from the men, but we should follow the example of St. Paul and servant of Christ as his ambassador, to accept the honor and also the dishonor. But either before and not before. Many times people praise us, but other times people falsely accuse us. And as we accept the good report, the praise, also need to accept the report. This shouldn't change my heart. This shouldn't make me frustrated or angry. As I accept the good report, I should also accept the evil report. As we see us, sometimes people say about us who are not teachers, and teach also doctrine. They said so about St. Paul, he's deceiving the people. Yet, true, maybe in the perception of some people who are deceivers, but before God, we are true. And this truth is demonstrated by the nature of the doctrine that we are preaching, as well as by our righteous and good life. As deceivers, and yet true, verse 9, as unknown, yet well known. In this world, maybe we are unknown. Maybe we will have the one not famous, like the actors of the cinema, like the sports players. Maybe the people of that circumstance of God, we are not known. Like, you know, these figures in the world. But we are well known to God. God knows how much His servants gave us to Him, how much sacrifice they offered in the day. God actually is counting our steps. God told us, even a cup of water you give it to what my brethren will not be forgiven. So we in the world, but not, but yet we are well known for God. And dying, and behold, we live. And dying because we are always exposed to death. We receive death threats, and we receive persecution and suffering for the name of Christ. Yet we must preserve. Even if they kill us, like John the Baptist, but we have to have our life. That's why, as God, we love anything of Christ, yet we are alive, alive in Him. Even if we kill the body, we cannot touch the soul of the Spirit. And Jesus, and yet not kill. God our Father, for our good, for our righteousness, He may allow us to choose as the Father ministered His Son, as the Father chooses His Son, so may it, as we read the Psalm 115, with choosing, He chooses me, but He did not deliver me to death. So yes, many times while choosing, but yet not killed, because that spares our life. He chooses us to make us better, to improve us, not to kill us, but to destroy us. Verse 10, as sorrowful, yet almost rejoicing. Yes, due to this suffering, when we face all these tribulations, when we face all these hardships, we may actually feel grief. When we see people drifting away from Christ, when we see people not repenting, yes, our hearts are grieved. Yet, we rejoice in hope. We rejoice in confidence that God will deliver us and will deliver His people. Because it is the good pleasure of God to deliver the kingdom. So, in the same time, we are sorrowful, but this sorrow is full of joy. You will weep and lament, but I will see you, and your soul will turn into joy. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, poor, we do not have the wealth of the world. We do not have the riches of the world, but we yet make it make rich by offering to them the riches of Christ, the riches of the kingdom of God, the riches that no one corrupt and no defeat steal. So we offer to the people the full riches of Christ. As have done it, because actually, we give up everything for Christ. We don't own anything from the possessions of this world. Yet, for something important, we go to have Christ. And if we have Christ, we have all things. So, in this beautiful passage, St. Paul showed them how his ministry is approved. How, in spite of all these hardships, he presented himself as servant of Christ, with no offense, with no blemish to the ministry, but he accepted all the suffering in order to make his ministry approved by God. From verse 11, he told them, we have done all these things because we love you, and we care about your salvation. We want you to return back to God. But the more we love you, the less you love us. The more we love you, the less you love us. That's why this letter from the old Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. I will speak to you with the utmost freedom because of my affection for you, because of my love for you. Our heart stands to take you in and to take all your efforts in and to keep you in. Our heart stands by the Holy Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is love. So the Holy Spirit widens my heart. Make my heart large, expanded in order to include you in our heart. We have spoken openly to you. We did not hide anything from the message of God to you. Our heart is wide are not restricted by us. There is no restriction, there is no barriers in our heart. You come down and speak in our heart. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affection. So, you do not have another place in our affection. But unfortunately, we do not have the same place in your heart. We do not have the same place in your affection. In some translations of the Bible, it says, as we have other translations, it says, you are restricted by your own values. And the word doubt, Ahshah, is used to describe the description, you know, the most specific description. So, he is saying that our heart is full of doubt and tender to you, but we don't have the same place in your heart. So, now actually, as my children, I command you, and I think I have the right to command you as a father. Now, in return, I want you to repay me back with love. As we love you, I'm expecting you to love me. Now, in return, for the same, return for the same love of love, I speak as the children. I'm speaking with the authority as your father, because of my children. You also be open. Open our hearts for us. Open our hearts and give us grace in your heart. Repay me for my affection towards you. I speak to you as my children, whom I have a right to command. Love me and I love you. But when I think you be open, you need to be wise and to have discernment. Be open doesn't mean to be under the same yoke with the unbeliever. That's why this is called them. Do not be unequal yoke together with unbeliever. And actually, St. Paul is putting in his mind or recording in his mind Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19. That the believer should not pair up with the unbeliever. And that was meaning a wonderful argument. This verse is mainly about the next marriage, about the intermarriage. That's why in Christianity we cannot marry a Christian to non-Christian. And this was one of the major differences between the Catholic and the Orthodox. So the Catholic Church allows marriage between Catholic and non-Christian. For example, they allow marriage between Catholic and Muslim. And usually we ask the question, when you marry a Catholic to non-Christian, is it a sacramental marriage or not? Does the Holy Spirit descend and unite these two persons or not? As I said, there is no fellowship. That's why there is no intermarriage. There is no mixed marriage. Believer should marry believer. But St. Paul also, although he had in mind the intermarriage, but also speaking about association in the meeting or non-believer festival. Any close fellowship with the non-believer is prohibited. He told them, do not be unequal yoke, and I explained the yoke, this piece of wood that relates to two animals. So, don't be under the same yoke, like marriage with the unbeliever. Why? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? We follow the law of God, and by following the law of God, we get righteousness. But the unbeliever, they are without law. They do not follow the law of God. That's why he describes it as lawlessness. they are not following the law of God. So can you follow the law of God and then marry somebody who is not following the law of God? There is no fellowship between the believer and lawlessness. How difficult they keep up the believer, how to keep up the profession of Christianity being associated with the unrighteous, those who do not follow the law of God. And what communion has God with God? As the Lord told us, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And now we are the light of the world because we have Christ as the Son of Christ. Can you put light and darkness together? Those who do not have Christ are darkness. Even we before Christ, as we say in Isaiah, we say in the Bible, we were living in darkness and shadow of death. But when the Holy God, Jesus, shone in our hearts, we became light. So, is there confusion between light and darkness? Absolutely not. That's why the believer cannot act as a believer. Verse 15. What accord has Christ with Belial? Belial is a heathen god. Like God is a fool. And actually, it's used as reference for Satan. And Christ does nothing in common with Satan. There is no accord between Christ and Satan. So how can a believer who is full of Christ have a close intimacy with one, with the person who is still under the dominion of Satan? Because all the unbelievers, they are under the dominion of Satan. They are not, they will not move from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of the Son of God. So how you can have close intimate relationship with those who are under the dominion of Satan? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? It doesn't make sense. If you believe in Christ, so have you want to be in one? Because of marriage, the two shall become one. How do you want to be one with the unbeliever? Verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? That's what it says. And the temple of God has nothing to do with the temple of the idols. In the same way, we Christians can see the temple of God should be separated completely from the unbeliever. There is no communion between the temple of God and the temple of idols. Those who eat from the temple of idols, those who follow other religions, cannot be in communion with the children of God. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, you Christians, you believers, you who were baptized and created and received the Holy Spirit, you are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. As the Holy Spirit lives in the church and sanctifies the church, in the same way the Holy Spirit lives in you and you are the temple of Christ, you are the church, a consecrated place of Christ. You are sanctuary of the Lord. As the tabernacle of eating the glory of God, the world between the two cherubim of the Ark of Covenant. And this actually is called Shekinah. Shekinah is not the Hebrew and the Arabic are very close. So Shekinah is close to the word Sakan. 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 Sakan means to dwell. So, one of the names of the tabernacle of eating, Shekinah. Shekinah, the place in which God, yes, God dwells. So, he's saying here, you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell with them. I have my dwelling. He's like a tabernacle among us. He dwells with us. The Holy Spirit is the word of him. That's the word of the people. As we read in Ephesians chapter 26, verse 12, and Exodus 25, verse 22. I will dwell with them and rule among them, Emmanuel, that is with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, here, it's very, very clear. God is dwelling in us, with us, among us. There is no relationship, there is no communion between the believer and the unbeliever. Therefore, this is the key. That actually is our part. But the unbeliever cannot hold that their part. So, how we, the children of God, be in communion, in one, in unity with unbeliever? I will be their God, and we shall be my people. He will be our God and our people. But the unbelievers are under the command of Satan. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. It is a call to cleanse oneself from paganism, as we read in Isaiah 52, verse 11. Come out from among them. Those who dwell among them, be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean. Our cleanness is from Christ, from the Holy Spirit, who purifies us, who sanctifies us. But actually, if we have fellowship with the unbelievers who are touching the unclean, but the commandment here, be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Which means, if you touch the water part of me, if you marry, I will fight your faith. This means God will not receive you. You will not receive the blessings of Christ. You will not receive the promises of Christ. But if you separate yourself and you did not touch what is part of me, then I will receive you. I will receive you and I will give you my blessings and my love. And here the quote actually is quoting several verses from Jeremiah 31, verse 1 and 9, from Isaiah 43, verse 6, from Joshua, verse 1 and 7. And as this quote is saying, it is the will of God that these children, these worshippers, the believers, should be separated from the world. Yes, we live in the world, but we are separate from the world. As the sun, the light, actually shining in the world, but separate from the world. So we, the children of God, shining in the world, but we are separate from the world. If you do this, if you come out from among them, if you become separate, if you do not touch what is unto me, then I will receive you. I will be a part of you, and you shall be my son and daughter. You will be my children. I will give you the honor of sonship, says the Lord Almighty. Then actually you will receive us, and you will accept us as your own children. Which means, if the person marries or associates with the unbeliever, actually, he is rejecting his sonship. He cannot be his son anymore. And many times people come and argue, well, you will not give us communion. And why the church reject us when we marry outside the church? And actually, the question here, who rejects more? Is it the church reject you, or you, by marrying outside the church, you reject the church? And actually, if you are rejecting the church, you are rejecting your spouse. That's why you cannot have communion. If you have communion with unbelievers, you cannot have communion with God in the same time. There is no communion between life and darkness, between Christ and burial, between the temple of God and the temple of life. So the message here, be good, be simple, keep yourself as righteous as the children of God, and you will receive these promises and these blessings. Glory. The word of people from the word of faith. And this means to believe in the life of God. So, can we call all the people who call themselves Christians to believers, even if they follow the wrong doctrine? For example, if Christ told us that unless you are born again of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And if I do not believe in this doctrine, if I do not believe the word of God, can I call myself a believer? Christ told us, unless you eat my blood and drink my blood, you have no eternal life. Can I call myself a believer, which means I believe in Christ, I believe in his teaching? Why I deny the word of Christ? So what is the Christian believer? The true believer is the person who has a true heart, who believes the true doctrine and the true teaching. No. Maybe you are afraid of the formation of the English of the Spirit. There was a situation that happened all these non-believers. And then one of his family became Christian. So, if a person became Christian, what should he do? Should he divorce his wife? Should he abandon his children? So, circumstances and this specific situation. Because we manage here, having before conversion, before believing in Christ. In this specific situation, just continue, maybe you will bring your family to Christ. But it's not people who won't believe, let me be. You are not under obligation. But we cannot apply the same rule with a believer of man and unbeliever. This should happen actually before the marriage. Now, if the other people believe in Christ and then change and convert to Christianity, their marriage appears to go, but it can be something here. change for the marriage. And for example, the family is going to be divorced. We found a person who could build to the church for the fixed marriage because of that through the religion of the marriage. That's why we need to be sure that this conversion is not just as a life in this marriage, but we grew deeper in the world.
Thank you.